and welcome to Procedurally Generated. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are John Carson and our special guest, my good friend Brandon Bowling. This week's been a fairly busy one with all kinds of news and game releases, but I've missed out on most of it because I literally cannot put down Fallout 4. How are you guys doing on the Fallout addictions?
I'm trying to play as much as I can, but it's only been a few more hours than last week.
Really?
Sadly. Yeah.
I guess you've been more on top of other new releases.
Yeah, I've been playing some Battlefield and some Rise of the Tomb Raider, but I'm sure we'll get into those later.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I'm at a point with it where I'm both. There needs to be like a portmanteau for this. Like I'm proud and also very ashamed that my character has 2 days of played time already.
Well, we will proud shame you all night.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's all right.
I don't know. We'll have to figure this out. But anyways, I cannot put it down. I mean, I'm playing it for like 8 hours straight every single night. I've had a blast with it. I'm barely even into the main quest because you guys know I love sandboxes so much. And so just to get things started really quick, let's just weigh in on what our thoughts are now that we've put a little bit more time into the game. I want to actually get things started with Brandon, who's a first-time guest this week. Brandon, you're a neighbor of mine, my good friend. We play Fallout together all the time, and you are playing it for the first time on PC, correct?
Oh, yes, that is true.
Can you tell us a little bit about your experience so far?
Well, honestly, as you can see, I'm already at a loss for words because it's a completely different experience. I played Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 on New Vegas, and I can be the first to tell you, certified, beat both games twice on the PlayStation console, and it is the absolute worst experience in my life.
Yeah.
You figure, you know, playing these games over the course of years between Fallout 3 and New Vegas and Fallout 4, I guess you could say, and I feel like the bugs got worse rather than better.
Really? Interesting. On console specifically, or do you mean just game to game?
Console specifically. And I think it might have something to do with, I feel like most of Bethesda's game as a developer, I think their primary focus is on PC.
Yeah, it definitely always has been. I mean, a lot of that stuff was originally PC only and then got ported. I'm pretty sure Morrowind was.
There's a lot of problems with any PS3 ports for any Bethesda game. Yeah. They're a pretty big garbage heap.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest with you, I'm just using Fallout as an example because, you know, that's a very relevant topic nowadays. But Skyrim, which I bought for Xbox 360, sure. Oblivion.
I am so sorry.
Yeah. So this is such a refreshing experience. The graphics are just beyond my understanding at the moment. And, you know, like you've already
screens. So I, Brandon and I got together and he had a nest egg saved up and we built him like quite the gaming computer for his first transition over to PC from consoles.
I remember the saga.
Yeah, it's a monster. Like, I'm so jealous because, as you guys know, I'm running a fairly old system that's just kind of all duct taped together so that I can run modern games. I'm running the game on like medium at like 30 to 60 frames depending on the location. Brandon's running it at like ultra with like 120 frames. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, my screens aren't even powerful enough.
He's actually running two copies of Fallout 4
at the same time on two different screens. Yeah, and then I can also plug in.
He's actually just streaming the second copy to me, and I'm just playing over Wi-Fi.
What I'm actually doing is I'm streaming two copies on both screens, and then I'm also streaming a second copy twice to my laptop.
He just couldn't wait for it to come out on the Oculus, so you just have it on two screens with special glasses.
You know, it's not multiplayer, right?
I'm really glad you're having a good time.
Fallout 4.
I'm really glad you're enjoying it. What are have you noticed any big differences between playing on like consoles like you have in the past?
Yes, there's major differences. First off, I think you've already touched on it. Is frame rate makes a big difference, particularly for role playing games. It definitely helps the immersion.
Mm-hmm. Especially, I would assume, in a game like Fallout, which has historically bad gunplay outside of VATS.
Yes, of course. As you know, I'm definitely a VATS heavy player because I played on console.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing that change, I love VATS personally, but I've probably clicked into it at most by accident just to see what it looks like.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a big shift to play more like a shooter. It's not what I would define as a Twitch shooter. Most certainly not. You have the first person control, and it is definitely more first person friendly, as you do have a binded button that you can use exclusively for grenades. It also gives you like that kind of imagery of cooking a grenade, even though that's not an actual thing.
Although, as a side note, because of their console friendliness, you actually don't have an exclusive button for grenades. It shares a button with Melee.
Yeah, which is
by default left alt. Go figure.
I changed that to the middle mouse. Minded that to my middle mouse.
Oh, where'd you get that idea, Brandon?
Oh, I wonder. Like
every other first-person shooter ever?
Oh, I recommended he made the change immediately because that's the only key.
I tried it once, and then I was like, yeah, let's not do that anymore. And then I think I'm going to end up binding it to one of my side click buttons on my mouse. So VATS will be the front click, and then the back click will be my grenade. So I'm thinking about doing that.
So that's not a bad idea.
Quick question. Have grenades always been this powerful?
No.
No.
Fallout game?
Yes and no. Here's the thing. Remember they took out the explosive skill. That's why.
Gotcha.
Because you have to treat the game as though basically you have 100 of every skill from level 1, and then you just get passive increases to their potency.
Gotcha.
So no, they've never been this powerful, but at the same time, I'm pretty sure like nobody ever levels explosives, I feel like, unless you're like doing a build that's like, I throw TNT at dudes.
Nobody, like in most Fallout games, you don't build explosives unless you're going to specialize or if there's a mission that requires like smidgets of it.
Yeah. Plus, like as a side note, isn't this the first one that's had quite the depth of types of explosives? Like, did we have like, for example, the cryo mines and stuff like that?
No, cryo is a new addition to the Fallout franchise, although there has been a variety in grenades in Fallout New Vegas and Fallout 3.
Like, I know they had frags, and I know they had mines, of course, and they had plasmas and plasma mines.
They had EMPs.
Now, I was going to ask, though, were Molotovs in the
I feel like
ones?
They were.
I feel like maybe they were in New Vegas, but I can't remember if they were in
Fallout 3. I don't think they were in 3, but I know they were in New Vegas.
I know that even in 4, with the trumped up power of these explosives, they're still useless, that's for sure. The Molotovs are like garbage because everything is fire resistant.
I haven't even tried those. I've tried the frag grenades.
The frags are so metal.
Use them on Mirelurks.
Okay.
They're good on Mirelurks. They're also super, like literally any legendary enemy you see can be one shot with a grenade.
What's that other version of the robot butlers?
The Mr. Gutsies.
Ran into a Mr. Gutsy. Guys. He was just like laying waste to some raiders, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to throw a grenade over there and see what happens.
Yep.
Just kill them. I'm like, all right.
That's amazing.
It's good. It's real good.
So just out of curiosity, Brandon, like, what do you think? I like that you're enjoying the PC version, of course, because I'm such a jerk about PCs. But what do you think of the game itself? Because obviously you weren't able to weigh in last week. I'm just curious. How do you think it stacks up to the other games?
In terms of the Fallout franchise, I think it's definitely a worthy addition. The soundtrack is very immersive and fits the theme of the game.
Mm-hmm. When you say soundtrack, are you listening to a radio station?
Listening to Diamond City Radio in the game.
Okay, sure, primarily. Yeah. They're the ones that play a lot of like classical stuff, right?
Right, and then there's also a more classic channel that's more...
I really like that, just orchestral. It's mostly just like piano music, but...
I like it, although I find it a little bit not as pleasantly juxtaposed as like some of the stuff from the older games. Right. Like I like the ballads and stuff a little bit more. I did find it kind of weird when I was hearing violin music playing when I'm in Sanctuary and it's like all these torn down buildings that are collapsed around me and stuff. And I'm like, this reminds me of the music from Grizzly Hills in Warcraft. Like this is a little too cheery and like happy for Fallout. That said, I ended up actually turning it off, but that said, I'm usually not really listening to music while I play games, or I am listening to music rather, so I don't use the in-game soundtrack.
So to be fair, another thing I like too is I did turn the radio off every now and then, and I think some of the ambient music does fit very well, actually. Like I don't want to spoil the game too much, but you know, as you travel the wasteland, you'll come into towns and things, and sometimes there'll be the occasional building that's not really quest related, and you'll go in and it's usually as a set piece and it has like your little tools and bits that you can use. Man, they have never been more enjoyable in this game I've ever. It's just like you walk in and then there's like an air of like you can feel the imagery of what was before what is now.
That's
and
definitely true. Well, I think part of that too is that like Boston is the best setting they've set anything in so far, in my opinion.
I wanted to say this. I'm so happy that it's there and not like, oh, another weird image of New York. I'm from New York and I'm tired of it. Jeez, man. Hilarious. I'm just tired. Like, let's focus on other. There's so many beautiful places in the United States and around the world. Like, New York is just one. Like, let's focus on
other
things.
Agreed. Well, and I think that Boston was a particularly good choice, not just because obviously it's where I grew up, as I've mentioned, but also because it actually has legit history from that time and from before the the 50s when everything started like going off the rails from our timeline.
Sure.
And so it feels more real. Like, I don't know, like Washington, D.C. is like a tourist destination and stuff. Yeah. But like it's not like the monuments that were there for, were for native Washingtonian D.C.ans.
Yeah, that works.
I don't know what the name is for people from Washington, D.C. But
you did good.
But you know, I can't imagine that they were like, oh, there's, you know, the famous corner shop or whatever, this or that. You know, yep. it's the Lincoln Memorial and then surrounded by just blank rubble. And then whereas with this, it feels much more to me like it's obviously a heavily condensed version of Boston. And there are key facets that are missing and stuff like I have yet to find. I found a swan boat, but I've yet to actually see the swan boats.
Okay.
And stuff like that. And yep. But I did, as I've mentioned, I did have a real rush when I first walked into Boston Commons, when I first saw the Boston Public Library, I like lost my mind. I mean, there's some really, really cool set pieces in that just feel like walking the Freedom Trail, for example, the fact that that's even an option. Like I've walked that Freedom Trail many times and it's really cool just to like see all the historic places that you actually stop in, like when you're touring it and stuff.
I like that it feels like a metro area and there are surrounding towns.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
it feels
Concord.
More like a real city than any Fallout city ever has before.
Yeah. And it also feels like there's a lot of depth to it, you know?
And it's memorable.
Yeah.
It's, the fact that like I can off the top of my head say, yeah, I was in Concord the other day or yeah, I was in Lexington the other day. And it like people know what you're talking about. Cause it just feels like it's more, the setting is so much more important than it ever has been before. Whereas in something like New Vegas, where it was just like, this is a desert. It has desert stuff.
Like the only place was New Vegas.
And New Vegas, I mean, the Vegas that people of our day and age know didn't exist in the 50s.
Was Reno in that game?
No.
No.
Did they have any of those like little offshoot?
No.
Not really.
Gambling towns? No.
No.
No. Okay. No. But then again, you got to remember that New Vegas was a bit of a departure.
That's true.
Yeah. So. Anyways, though, sorry, we keep interrupting you, Brandon. Go on.
No, it's fine. I just can't, like, every time you talk about it, it's just so, whenever I think of the Fallout environment, my mind just goes like, wow, this is amazing. And I think what does such a beautiful justice to this game is, as you said, like, there's a lot of historical value to Boston. And like you said in Fallout 3, for example, you know, yeah, Washington, D.C., okay, so we got, you know, the Capitol Building, White House, you know, okay, great. Lincoln Memorial, we're good, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Great. In Boston, there's already extreme historical value. Like, if you go there today, like, there's extreme historical value. There are places that look exactly like it does in Fallout because they're all historical monuments. They're not changing.
Well, and it's cool, too, because they aren't monuments. They are buildings that became historically protected. Yeah. But like they aren't, it's not like the Washington Monument where it's like everyone knows what it looks like. It was built to be a monument. It's the historicity of it is literally that it was built to honor Washington, which is cool, but it's not the same.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's a very telling point because, you know, you're seeing function and history combined into one beautiful palette that really allows you to sink into the game and see, okay, wow, even though it's, you know, 200 years in the future, I mean, I can relate to this.
Yeah.
You know, and that's amazing. Even though the game is set in like a 50s-ish retro future world.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's not art, I don't know what is, because you're connecting with people in the most obscure way possible and it just works.
I've always had a real soft spot for the settings and just the tone of the Fallout world in that exact sense. I think it's so cool. And I also like that it's not like steampunk or cyberpunk. It's a cool take on alternate history. Yep.
It's kind of all things.
Well, it's nuclear punk
kind of there. Yeah. Well, especially going into, I guess, speaking of history, the history that this area has had with Fallout 3, there were characters that had come from the Commonwealth.
Yep.
When it pertains to like the Siths or synths, I almost said Siths.
The Sith.
Sith.
I've got
Darth Grievous.
Yes. Darth Valentine.
Don't worry, there's a mod for that.
Is there?
Let's get there will be soon enough. Trust me. There are lightsabers in literally every other Bethesda game.
It's too late. It's already there.
All right. But cool. All right, I have to go, guys. I need right. to go.
Well, actually, speaking
my
of
baseball bat into the lightsaber.
Speaking of, this is actually a great opportunity to transition into our first news story.
Okay,
Because there is a Fallout 4 mod that is blowing up right now on the Fallout Nexus.
Yep.
Or actually, sorry,
this
it's
is
the
what
Nexus
you
mods.
Wanted.
Yeah, it's literally what I've been talking yep. about. I've actually been following this since they first put up the first post of it. And what it is they took all of the dialogue from the game. And you know how it uses that dumb Mass Effect system where you get a rough, like, average of what you might say, and you just mm-hmm. choose that option mostly based on what the history of pointing up has meant?
Oh, you're like, yes and no?
Yes.
Oh.
They've broken it down now so that the full dialogue that your this mod makes it so the full dialogue your character is going to say is printed out in text in front of you before you click it.
Oh.
And it has options to either display the text in the traditional numbered Fallout setting that they used to do, or format that they used to do,
yep.
and or you can use the current new one, but it will have the full text listed yep. on each of the wheel.
I still like it with the newer layout. For whatever reason, the old layout
like
looks really out of place.
I like the older layout a lot better personally, but I think I'll probably use the new layout yep. with the mod because there's only ever four options.
Right.
If there were more than four options, yes, which there should true. Be, then which I mean, because I think that's one of the biggest losses of this game is that you can't. There's really not that many options.
They
for
pigeonholed
speech anymore.
You into
yeah.
these four options, and it is such a jarring.
It's just a shame because I'm used to being able to like have three additional options because of one perk and stuff like that. And so now it's like if you have a perk, then you just have a higher chance to win a roll now, which is very different.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a
yeah.
Bummer.
No, and they don't even tell you the percentage either, which kind of
no. I think man. the color. I think if it's yellow, it's like a good chance.
Easier.
Red, it's like harder.
Yep.
But still, it's not. Great. Oh, and by the way, the color coding has been maintained even if you use the old school style, so you still know that it's going to be a dice roll. But a great example was they talked about how in the article I was reading about this for the show, they were talking about how at the beginning of the game, when your wife asks you if you will come and she asks if you want to go to the park later.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the options is the sarcastic one where you point to the right. And apparently you get more information about how the day that the game starts on is the Red Sox are at the World Series.
Yeah.
And like it's relevant to other stuff later in the game. It's world building, but and it's actually a really good reason not to go to the park.
Right.
Because like, it's World like, Series right. is happening in and your team is playing
here,
but
I want to watch the World Series.
They labeled that under the sarcastic side.
Yeah,
and it's like I would want to know that information. And so I think that's it's really cool. This is the kind of stuff that modders do. They hear the complaints, they feel your pain, and they fix it. I adore modding. I think it's so cool, and I'm really glad that there are over 2,000 Fallout mods already on the Fallout Nexus, and they haven't even released the toolkit yet.
Yeah, I'm like, so tempted to just like just jump out and take care of that right now.
Now, I will warn people, especially since we haven't had the first major Bethesda patch, that remember that when you have to update your game, it can break your mods and your save file. If you start playing with mods, then they release an update and there's no updated version of the mod, you may not be able to continue that save. And I'm not sure. You can read about the conflicts and that kind of stuff on the actual mod page when you're downloading it, but just be aware, you know, I would probably wait for the first major patch to drop. And then,
I think they said like next week.
Yes, I believe so. And then you're probably okay to patch it once they've wiped out the most common of bugs and everything. But yeah, I think that's great. I can't wait to cover more mods. We'll be checking in regularly with Fallout 4 mods and just updating you guys on cool ones.
Since we're still on Fallout 4, what's the weirdest bug that you've seen so far?
So I had a weird one. I'll go first.
Okay.
So I was trying to get into some power armor last week.
Okay.
And I had it right next to a power armor stand. And I had just finished making a bunch of modifications. I was putting radiation shielding on all the parts of my armor. And I had this weird thing where the cursor kept flicking between, like, I you know how there's kind of an aura around the interactable settlement benches and stuff? The aura around it, around the power armor station, was kind of overlapping onto the power armor. And so I got really annoyed and started spamming E as fast as I could to get into the power armor.
Yeah.
And it kept taking me into the menu again and again. I kept tabbing out, hitting E again and again. And then suddenly the game, like, blinked for a second, and suddenly my character was standing there with, from the neck down, it was, he was wearing the power armor, but all the meshes were stretched like as though he was super tall. And then his pauldrons and helmet were floating about a foot and a half above his head and forward. I could not access my Pip-Boy, couldn't save, couldn't basically I just ended up reloading my last quick save. But it was a game breaking, quote unquote, bug. Yeah. And I couldn't get in or out of the power armor. It didn't recognize me as having worn it. Like, it was really weird, but very, very easily fixed.
Okay.
What about you guys,
Brandon? What have you seen?
So I haven't had anything that serious. So mine have been actually really minor, which is great.
Yeah, I would just like to say really quick, that is one of two glitches I've seen in the entire time I've played, and I have over 2 days played on my character. So, like, not that many bugs on my side.
Yeah, it's not nearly as buggy as the other ones.
I just want to hear the weird stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I love this.
So I think you've experienced this one too, Henry. I'll have my gun unholstered, ready to fire, and I might go into my Pip-Boy to, like, you know, check ammo or what have you, and then I'll come out, and then my gun's not there. So I'm like, oh.
Yes, I have seen that. Actually, that reminds me. One other thing I have bumped into a couple times was, and I don't know if you guys have seen this, but when you try and switch to a favorited gun using the hotkeys, it'll, like, not take the gun out properly.
Weird.
They're like, sometimes regularly for me, when I try to hotkey to a gun, there's like a 1.5 second, 2 second delay before he actually, like, has the gun in his hands. Often there'll be just an invisible gun he's holding.
I usually just use the D-pad menu for that.
I don't have it.
Works pretty that's, well.
The D-pad menu is
that's right. Right.
Oh, you're saying you actually hit F?
No, I hit. I use a controller. And
so
I
that's
use,
the equivalent of
yeah. There's like a little
F.
Crosshair.
Okay. Yeah. That's if you hit F. I never do that. I should try that.
No. The I don't like the keyboard setup for Fallout 4. It's really weird to me. I'm sure it's something I could get used to, but
it's the same as every Bethesda game ever, just really.
Too many.
Honestly, I like it because it's like kind of like training me. Yeah, I'm new to piece.
That will get you up and running.
I know
PC
where the
games.
Alt key is now without having to look at the key anymore.
It's like, I know how to shift. I know how to run.
I know where the E button is now. Like, I can interact with things.
Yep.
It's hilarious.
But once it starts asking me to do caps lock, like, I never hit caps lock.
You keep on saying that.
It's
one.
A weird
okay,
button.
First of all, you never have to touch it ever. Like, you don't actually have to use
that's,
it.
That's well, yeah, also, but if you actually accidentally bump it, it's your run.
It's
or
immediately
walk.
Pretty clear what you did. But second of all, that has been in every Bethesda game going back to Morrowind.
Honestly, I love it because I love just doing a slow walk and power armor.
Yeah.
You just feel so powerful. Like, it's definitely a power
armor. Strutting.
Oh, yeah, you just strut, man. It's great. Yeah.
What about you, John? What's your craziest glitch?
There's one that I keep seeing, and it's like every time I die, my guy's legs are through the floor. I think it's when I'm crouching because I'm trying to sneak everywhere, and someone will kill me, and my legs are just like through the floor, and my body's just flopping backwards.
Like, so, like, let's just start like sneaking and
that's
dying.
That's barely a glitch.
That's
just
barely
funny.
A glitch. That's just more funny. The one that I had today, got to Diamond City. And was walking past the barbershop, and the guy's like, come get a shave, come change your hair.
Yeah.
And there's like a lady sitting in his chair, and like the dude's mom's talking to him, and he's like, hey, let's see what we could do with that face of yours. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll pay these 15 caps. I pay it, and he's like, I've got a chair for you right here. And the lady is still sitting in the chair, and I can't select the chair.
Oh,
she
no.
Won't move. Everyone's just staring at me. I can't move anywhere. I can turn around. And I can't open up my Pip-Boy or anything, and everyone's just like awkwardly looking at
oh,
me.
Oh, so you can't even like draw a weapon or
no,
anything?
No, I can't.
I was going to say, would you try shooting her?
I had to close out of the game.
Just to let you know, this is why I cut my hair at home now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All the more reason you should definitely not.
Stuck in the barbershop.
All the more reason you should definitely not start playing it on PS4, because if that happens, it's going to be way more of a hassle.
Yeah, yeah.
Agreed.
And you won't have that convenient F5 quick save.
Mm-hmm.
The best part of playing Bethesda games on PC has got to be the quick save
system.
Spam
that button so hard, I think I broke my keyboard. It's hilarious.
It's great. So I could honestly have another entire podcast about Fallout 4, but we should probably move on before
I probably bog
this all down. Yeah, I'm sure we will.
In other news.
Oh, but, there is no other news.
There has been some other news.
What?
People are lauding... are lauding 343 right now because... They released the first quote-unquote free quote-unquote Halo update, where they have patched in promised content that was supposed to be their day one.
Oh, yeah.
Hooray! They have the big team mode. What's the exact name? I always blank.
Big team mode.
Is that actually
it? Big team battle.
Yes. The big team battle of... Which 8-on-8.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, 8-on-8, like, that's it?
I was explaining this to Henry before, in Halo, like Halo battle terms, yeah. Like, that is big team battle.
Yeah, sure, but that's not what the word big games. Means. Sure.
Yeah, it's like,
especially because as we discussed off-air...
4v4.
Yeah, but as we discussed off-air, though, like, there have been Halo games that have had 16-on-16 matches. It's a shame, especially since now that there's no split screen, shouldn't they be able to maybe do a little bit more with the netcode, since, I don't know, it just...
Netcode's fine on that game.
Well, no, I'm saying, I presume that netcode, though, is the reason they have player limits.
Oh yeah, probably.
Yeah, and so I'm figuring maybe they would have been able to support more players,
frame rate, that kind of stuff.
I guess. Oh yeah, I mean it's hard for me to understand why Halo has to be the way. I guess because it's running on the Xbox One, but like it's not like it's got physics or anything.
I'm trying so hard not to hate that game, but they're giving me a lot of ammo.
Yeah, like Counter-Strike 1.6 has physics.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. Like I love Halo. Love everything about it, but these last two iterations have been bothering me.
I really liked Halo 5.
I liked it too.
This hurts me, Brandon. This hurts me.
I just can't fall.
It doesn't hurt me,
this
really.
This is one of my... Oh.
No, it doesn't.
You and your sarcasm.
You don't have to... Yeah, you don't have to...
I'm aware that I'm in the minority of people who do not like Halo 5, but I don't understand how people can be so blindly fans of it, because I really do feel like they stripped... a lot of the best features out of Halo out of it, and then they added in microtransactions, and people are like, please, can I have some more?
But you don't have to pay money for it.
Okay, guess what? That's how it starts. They came for my they came for my not paying microtransactions, and I said nothing.
It's just like the corner dealer, man. The first hit's free.
Yeah, exactly. It's no joke.
Like the 5 or 6 hits of rec packs that I've had have been free as well.
No, but that's great. But then what? I'm serious though. Like the next iteration of the system is not going to be as consumer friendly, I'm sure.
Another thing too is that this is just.
But we haven't seen that yet, so there's nothing to.
No, but we inevitably will see it because there wasn't a huge backlash against it.
My theory on the situation is that. You know, we're having situation. Well, we have what we have now, which is okay. Here's a bunch of free content that you know we said we were going to put in there. Oh, yay! Great, great, great. You know, this might be what I would define as a long-term investment because they're going to make another Halo, and then all of a sudden that content might have a price tag on it, and it might not hit us as hard because we were already sucking down those.
This content used to have a price tag on it, though. This was the stuff
armor,
like vehicles, maps. They added 4 new maps to this and a new game mode. This used to come at like. A $40.
That's not only consumer unfriendly companies make paid map packs. Every remotely consumer friendly company gives free maps already. Like that's not a huge like. It's not like this is something they're doing that nobody else does.
So what's wrong with this?
This is they're saying we have to make put in DLC to justify the free maps, which is garbage. And especially because a lot of people have come out and said they would rather pay for the maps and not have to worry about other people having an advantage with powerful rec items and stuff like that. Because while it is true that you can kill someone and take the item from them or you can get random stuff freely, there's no doubt that somebody who is spending money on rec regularly has an advantage.
Sure.
Now, I know it's only in the Warzone mode, but look, it starts small. It really does. You mark my words... Halo 6 or, you know, if they're doing then a spinoff or something in between 5 and 6 is going to have more aggressive DLC practice or sorry, microtransaction practices. And it worries me because we saw they're pulling other stuff too, and they're not being upfront about it. Really. They're just kind of pushing it in there and then you get it all at once and you have to take it all in and you either like the game or it's either you're a Halo fan or you're not. Those were the two options when this launched. It's not, there's no room for discourse or like little critiques. It's you are the worst. If you don't agree with me that this is the best Halo game yet, which is really frustrating, not coming from you, John, obviously, but coming from the larger Halo fan base. And that's, I mean, it's crazy how vitriolic the forums and stuff have become when like Reddit and stuff, when people post, oh, I just think that this is setting us down a bad path, and they get downvoted to hell.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because I've loved this series. I've loved the story. I've loved the lore. Mm-hmm. And then I see this come out, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it looks great. And you play Master Chief for like maybe a, not even a third of the game.
And no, you know, not even close to a third. Yeah, it's a fifth, like, of the game.
Yeah, and I'm, and you know, and then, oh man, it's, there's so many things that I feel are wrong with this game, even though it looks beautiful and I think it's well produced.
Sure. Yeah.
So
I just wish it had, if it, if they had put in the microtransactions and also left in split screen and also left in like the ability to do co-op, and if it had like, you know, a real good story, any of those things would have made this a lot less bittersweet. But this is like, this feels like a slap in the face and then saying, and it'll be $5 if you want another slap.
See, that's another problem.
But what does that have to do with these like free maps and
the free maps are irrelevant, and this is not a free. No, they really are, because listen, even Call of Duty has free maps. Like,
they got
announcing
new
free maps now.
Just like new.
And also, this is not a new game mode. This is something that was, has been in every Halo ever and was supposed to be in it at launch.
I think with, at least with shooters these days, you have to find a way to keep your audience like playing the game.
So add new things. Don't
delay. This is new to Halo 5.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm sure that the big team deathmatch took tons of extra development time after they launched Halo.
But also, you have to admit, team deathmatch, and this is new to Halo 5. I mean, it's kind of flaky. That's something that's supposed to be in the game.
But this is like something, oh, hey, we added four new maps. We added this new game mode. Come back and play. Especially
come back and play.
New maps. We added these new game modes.
Sure, but it's...
But that should have been there when we started. I'm sorry about that. That's how I feel about it.
But it's like... All right, so do you get what I'm saying, though? Because games are forgotten about so quickly now. Like, you'll play a game, you'll get through it. Like,
part of the problem with that is 4.5 hour campaigns that have unmemorable storylines.
Sure, but when it comes to multiplayer, like the legs of the game, like
I think it's
traditionally
bogus.
Not the legs of a Halo game, because a lot of people like playing through on Legendary with their friends and 4-player co-op and all that.
I think if they want to keep the longevity for the game, they should dump more content at the beginning. The Witcher did not have legs because of all the patches. It had legs because there was such an insane amount of content in the game from day one that you just never put it down. The same goes for Fallout, like right now. Like, I think that to say, especially since a multiplayer game, it's they're developing less like it's less of a. There's I don't know about less literal development time, but especially since they're working off of a rubric that is pre-existing, the only really new stuff in this Halo is the War Zones mode and some of the new I can't remember exactly what they're called, the CTF-ish modes.
Yeah.
I can't remember the
name of it. But they're esports mode.
Yes, exactly. And while that's interesting, that's not like a massive, huge thing. The reason people are getting bored of it already is because it's just another Halo game to some extent. Like, it's because it is very similar to other Halo games. There are still people who are happy playing the old Halo games, you know, who are going to sit with their Master Chief collection and just go, yeah, I'll pass.
Sure.
But I don't think free maps should ingratiate us to, I mean, developing a map really is not. Like, developers have got us in their pockets if we really believe that map development is some huge, crazy, difficult thing to do. You want to talk about hard, it's when you add in a new character to a fighting game.
Yeah.
That is difficult development that requires extra money and input. Laymen can design maps.
You're not paying for these maps, though.
That's not a big deal.
Sure.
Especially because you are paying for items now.
I'm not paying for those items, though. Is the
you're
thing.
Not, like, but...
Sure, some people are.
Guess what?
Cool, good for
maybe
them.
I wasn't going to pay for those maps.
That's fine. Well, you don't have to.
That's fine. Great. So then it's not a big deal that they're free, because I wasn't going to get them if they were paid anyways. So, I mean, it's not... It's the same argument goes both ways.
I just think it's nice that they're switching up some game modes and adding some new maps, even a little bit after the game was released.
It's not a new game mode, but that's fine.
It's a new game mode to this game.
Halo 5, yes. I agree that
it is a new mode. To this game, there are new maps.
I agree with that statement. However, to say that it is something that is defining to the series that will give it more longevity, I think that's in question.
I mean, for this specific title,
yes,
it is. At least for the short term, until they bring out something new.
But hopefully the next one will be a uniquely new mode. I'd really like to see something that's actually like worth. I mean, honestly, do you genuinely believe, though, that like big big teams and adding a couple maps is worth like stopping playing Fallout 4 or something if that's what somebody's moved on to come back to it.
If I had more friends that played Halo 5 and they wanted to play big team battle, sure.
Never going to happen.
It's a joke. I don't have friends.
No, I just meant I was never going to buy it and play it with you.
No, I just don't have
friends. I was just thinking, though, like in terms of like the big team deathmatch, like there have been better iterations of that game in previous Halo titles. That's why I'm not too like, oh, God, this is new, you know?
Even yeah.
It is Halo 5.
But, all right.
I understand where you're coming from, John. I just, I'm not willing to concede that adding in a classic game mode to a new game and adding in a couple of maps is laudable. I'm just saying it's not like applause worthy. Yes, it might drive interest forward, and I don't disagree with that at all. I'm just saying I don't think that it's people are literally saying, look at how companies nowadays are giving all this post-release support. This isn't really post-release support.
Right. This is changing it up to keep people playing.
Especially because with as recent as it's been since the launch, I have trouble believing all these maps have been developed since.
Oh yeah. This is like when
this is this, parting and
this
parceling
is like
out.
Destiny having like the Crucible rolling out and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh yeah.
So it's part of their plan to try to keep people playing.
Yes. It's cool.
Which I find super interesting with multiplayer games. Just like, how do you keep people engaged?
Sure.
So
I guess for me, especially for me personally, and this is the last thing I'll say about it. I don't want to get bogged down in this too much, but for me, if they wanted people to come back to it and stuff, they need to do a little bit more than just adding in a classic mode and giving a couple free maps. They need to really make a change that makes it interesting to me beyond just saying it's got all the old features now.
Bring back that one. What was the skull mode? Where it's like a sport
legendary or I have no idea.
I can't remember. They need to bring that back though.
Yeah, there's a bunch of custom game modes that are still missing, and it'd be nice to see maybe some new custom game modes. Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe add in a couple of co-op single short missions that you can run with friends. Like the little stuff.
I mean, this game has a lot of. I mean, it's
and
a Halo
also
game,
so I will be excited when like the Forge drops.
Yep.
But this is no Forge update.
That wasn't there.
And this is no Forge update. And I think it's wrong that people are giving Bungie credit for basically deliberately delaying the release of stuff that you know. If this stuff had been included at launch, maybe people would have been more interested in buying it. You know, people like me who were on the fence about playing any more Halo games.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's quite enough about Halo. That's quite enough bullying John, because I think that to be clear, the majority agrees with John. Brandon and I are speaking from the vocal minority, but John, don't worry. You have plenty of friends to play Halo with online later.
How many tears can this microphone soak up?
Very few. Please don't break the microphone.
Just to let you know, I do also love Halo. I just like being critical.
I know.
Oh, speaking of being critical of companies and possibly being a paranoid jerk about it, Deus Ex, the Mankind Divided has been delayed. Not just a little bit from February.
Yeah.
It's till August of 2016 now.
Oh, my
get
chest.
Those pre-orders in, folks.
Yes. And
if you'll forgive me, I'm going to.
You'll be okay.
Do you need an augmentation?
We need to call.
I need some deuce, man.
Doctor.
Some deuce.
You need some deuce.
Some Deus Ex. Deuce. So
it's a soda, right?
Here's the thing. We need I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat here and say that I'm very, very skeptical about this delay, especially when you consider all of the pre-order stuff they were running before and that got scrapped. I feel like suddenly they're realizing they have to actually meet a standard with this game and it wasn't going to meet it. And call me cynical, which I know I am, but I would put money on the fact that if they had kept the pre-order system in place, this would not have been delayed. They would have launched it as is. And it's very frustrating for me because I love the old Deus Ex games. I even really liked Human Revolution, which
I love that.
In retrospect, I would say it was above average, but certainly not like one of the best games I've ever played.
Right.
It was a lot of fun. There's potential there though that I want them to build on. So I'm happy it got delayed, I guess, but I'm also annoyed. How come nobody can actually is this just the new strategy from game developers?
Because
their publishers will not. Is this just like they tell their publishers that every time deliberately because it's the only way they'll get the go ahead? And then they say, if you don't want this to be a flop, you have to give us another 6 months, because 6 months is not a small group of bug fixes. That's like them patching in a DLC's worth of content.
Yeah, you're moving it like two quarters, man. That's insane.
I feel like a lot of it lines up with financials as well.
Well, and not. Yeah, that's true.
March is usually the end of the fiscal year for most companies. So this releasing in the fall time frame is going to be a little bit better for them financially. I mean,
yes and no, though. Here's the thing. They're pushing
them. It can be their big tentpole title for Square Enix that year.
Yes, that's true. Although, isn't Hitman... Oh, no, Hitman got delayed, too, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
God, of course it did. Yep. Did Just Cause get delayed?
No, Just Cause is still December.
Okay, good. Oh, my God. Here's the thing.
Final Fantasy might be next year.
They could be hurting themselves even worse because now they've pushed themselves into the holiday game season.
Like it's very early in the holiday
game season. Yeah, sure. It's arguably it's about a month before,
it's good
but
to do that
still,
at the
like,
same time,
February, the reason people launch a bunch of stuff in February is A, for fiscal reasons, but B, it's because it tends to be a bit of a dead zone to some degree.
So if it was launching in February or March, that's kind of the new hot time to release games.
It was.
It is now.
Literally everything that was announced for next year's February and March that people were looking forward to has been delayed. I think there might be a couple left.
Dark Souls, Uncharted 4, Street Fighter 5.
Okay, fair.
I feel like there's a few others.
Yeah, there's
like those are.
Well,
those
I know.
Are some big ones.
I know there were three others that were all delayed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
but I would say those were more on. Like,
yes,
the
definitely. You're. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
I stand corrected. But still, like, I hate to see. You know, I support delays. I support really long development
as long as it helps the game.
I should be clear. Actually, I don't support delays. I support long development times, and that's the issue. Is just tell me how long it's going to take. Give me the date, and I'll wait for the date with bated breath. Don't do this bait and switch crap.
Or move to what a lot of people have been talking about, and that's announcing the game and releasing it within a few months.
Like
they did with Fallout.
I barely could even handle the hype from 6 months of...
I know.
Yeah, to be honest with you, Fallout hit me so hard, I'm still swimming in my own like excitement.
Yeah.
I've been playing the game for a week.
Yeah.
I do appreciate long development times. Like, you can tell me a game's 2.5 years out.
Sure.
I'm fine. But at the same time, like, you know, we're halfway through the wait. Now, all of a sudden, I have to wait another year. Okay, that's troublesome. So, I feel like,
Now I can't get it for my birthday.
Exactly. Yeah. Sorry, Henry.
we'll pre-order it for you.
Yeah, that happened with Skyrim, and then it got all confused, and then got lost, and then I don't do pre-orders.
Yeah.
No,
at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed.
By the way, speaking of disappointment in pre-orders, I wanted to touch on something really quick, actually. I know we got out of the Fallout pit, but I just wanted to ask you guys. Both of you guys purchased the Pip-Boy editions of the Fallout 4 collection, and I was just wondering if you could give us just some your feelings. Do you think it was worth it? Were you impressed or distressed by the quality of the products that you got? I personally got some hands-on with Brandon's Pip-Boy.
Yep.
And
did you break it?
No. Well, I didn't break it, but it was kind of broken out of the box.
I've broken it twice. That Pip-Boy is a lot flimsier than they let on.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
The only metal on the entire thing is the latch.
Is the latch. That latch is a quality latch.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
It would be a quality latch, except as Brandon is probably going to mention, it had the latch is fine, but the actual two plastic halves don't seal properly.
Oh, no.
they seal, like, they fit in there. They just look like absolute crap.
There's like a half-inch crack that runs along the entire side.
Yeah, of the plastic.
I might have talked about this last week. And I'm not sure, but
I don't think we talked about this at all.
Okay. So there's a couple buttons on the top, or what I thought were buttons.
Yeah.
Did
that too?
Was it that light on the top?
Yeah.
Yeah, I pushed that thing in really easily.
Yep.
And then there's a little black piece next to, like, this little windy knob.
Oh, the knob, the white knob that you pull out?
No, I guess it's, like, right in front of that, but there's also that black, like, wheel that you can spin.
The thing that you use to switch between the menus in the game.
Right. Yeah. So there's a little black button right next to it that should work like a button, but like you go to press it in and it just like falls into the
Pip-Boy.
So I actually did some surgery, and like you can take out the padding on the inside of the Pip-Boy and just like unscrew everything and put it back together. It was fine after that. Like 2 days later, I accidentally pushed that light back in.
So let me just say this, for any of you guys who have bought the Pip-Boy edition, first off, congratulations on your purchase. You bought a glorified piece of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Great job. Second of all, do not put it on your arm, put it on a table, possibly duct tape it to the table,
put it on that
and
stand.
Just look at
that
it for
really
the rest
nice
of your
stand.
Days.
It looks nice.
It looks nice. Like, it is a cool thing that I will probably put on a shelf.
Call me naive. When I saw the Pip-Boy first demonstrated and shown, with this edition, even when I saw it come out of the box, I wanted so badly to believe that it would have some basic level of Wi-Fi or Bluetooth functionality that would allow any of the buttons or knobs to do anything on your phone. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Literally, it has a power button on it that you touch, and it turns on two LEDs, and that is the entire operation of the unit.
Yep, Henry, I was going to say, that's some wishful thinking you have there.
Yeah.
Yep.
I desperately wanted that. That would have made it worth it. I would have paid. I was telling Brandon, they could have pitched. He got like an art book and a strategy guide and a bunch of stuff with his. They could have pitched all of that and just said it's $60 for like an all metal working Wi-Fi compatible like unit.
I would pay like $100 for that.
Yeah. And I'd be like, oh, I'm so all over that. But instead, it's a flashlight that you can strap to your wrist.
So, it's not even that.
Yeah.
It's a flashlight if you have your cell phone.
Does your phone fit in it?
Isn't one really weak amber colored LED enough to light a room for you guys?
Yeah. No, I'm saying like,
also, it only
as a works.
Side note, how is it not green? How is the light not green? For real.
Is it green in the game?
I'm pretty sure the amber was the New Vegas Pip-Boy colors, wasn't
it? No, the amber on the light. No, the lights in Fallout 4, those two like weird light things on the side, those are amber.
Okay, they are amber. It's the text that's all green.
Right. Yeah, and then, just to let you guys know, pro tip, you have the option of changing in-game your
color. What do you, everybody go around the room, what color is your Pip-Boy?
Light blue.
Light blue.
Light blue.
Yeah.
Just to let you guys know, I'm pretty sure if you've played and spent a lot of time in front of a screen, especially playing Fallout, maybe it's just for me because I'm a little bit closer to the screen because I have a PC now, but that green grinds on your eyes so hard.
It definitely did for me in Fallout 3. Like, it gives me headaches, actually.
What I actually wanted was a different color for my flashlight.
Which is also
It doesn't happen.
Yeah, it,
no,
does.
It does.
No, mine's still green.
No, you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it
it's
wrong.
A separate...
Oh, it's a separate there slider? Are three,
it's the setting right before Pip-Boy color that says HUD color.
Okay, John, I'm going to have to stop.
It uses the exact same RGB sliders. It's... Yeah.
John, I got to throw out a bro line.
They were trying to be cool. They were trying to be cool because if you wanted a white flashlight, then you wouldn't have to have white text, I think is the idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I think is very nice. It makes it so much more
flexible.
That's
what I went to go do first. I was like, oh, white text. This will give me a white flashlight. And I was like, I can't read this at all.
Well, that's one of the issues I had was I kind of wish the contrast was a little higher on the Pip-Boy. I know it's supposed to be old tech, but like, I wanted to do purple originally for my text, and that is like definitely not an option. You just can't. You can't
for that.
You can't read it.
Right.
Purple on black, it's like impossible to read.
Yeah, because it's not really a purple. It's more like a deep amethyst.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Enough about Fallout. We really got to talk about other games too. So
it's more like a cauliflower.
Right. Exactly.
Cauliflower blue.
So here's something kind of interesting. EA has been talking lately about their push towards digital, more and more digital distribution, both on PC and on consoles nowadays. Right. The idea that, and this is kind of a known quantity, but it's becoming more and more popular now, specifically on consoles, which is it's a lot cheaper for the developer and the publisher to produce a game when they don't have to actually produce a product. They just, as long as they, like, if they just host a file and say, or they pay someone else really to host a file and say, download it as much as you want, there's never any extra stock. They don't have to do sales because they're, you know, it's been sitting on the shelf eating up space for too long. They don't have to worry about paying back vendors or anything like that. I mean, they don't have to pay for the production or like, you know, shipping or anything.
It's logistics train has basically been rendered obsolete in this avenue. And I kind of like reading the whole article. I'm kind of, it works for businesses, but, you know, I always try to look at the end user point. So the consumer.
Yeah.
And
it's
And, you know, The businesses like EA, they're winning. And I don't feel like that's the same for the consumer.
Yeah, and what Brandon's getting at is he's saying the games are still $60, but they are getting a significantly higher profit margin from the digital sales. Plus, you are also paying in a lot of these games for DLC.
Right.
You're also paying for microtransactions. Mm-hmm. And on top of all of that, you don't actually own the game.
Exactly.
Sure.
You don't own, you have like almost no rights to it, in fact.
Technically, even if you have a disc for a game, you have a license for a game.
Well, it depends on the country you're in.
Sure.
Yeah,
because you have rights to do modification to the files if you own a physical disc in a lot of places.
Sure.
Even, I think, in some parts of America, you can do some amount of like, because you can do some amount of like decompressing code and trying to actually dig in and find out what's going on. But I know that there have been even cases of just taking apart the code that people have gotten in trouble for.
Yeah. Before.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm surprised that Destiny lets their codes their players data mine as much as they do on a console game.
It's actually kind of impressive.
Yeah, that actually is. So basically, this article is from Game Informer, just saying that EA's digital profit margins are about twice what they make for their physical.
That's what I was going to say.
It makes sense.
Yeah, you're talking about 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It's like double. That's double your money. And how is this like petering down to the consumer? That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't know if it is yet.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely not.
Back when digital sales were first starting to become a thing for either PC or console, they were talking about reducing the price point for those products. Obviously, sure. That hasn't happened.
Well, just to be clear, Steam exists.
Yeah.
Let's make sure, because I'm sure there's people screaming at their computers right now.
Oh, sure.
seriously, I got Just Cause 2 for $2 off of Steam.
Right. Steam sales are...
Humble Bundle
exists.
Best.
Oh, yeah.
I got over $300 in Square Enix games from the last Square Enix bundle. I should also note,
I did the Steam sale last year. I got my computer finished just in time. And
that is great.
Think of it this way. That computer was around, in terms of just base products to build it, was about just under $2,000. I basically paid, the computer paid for half of itself one Steam sale.
That was actually something I wanted to mention. I think he and I realized that a week after we had finished the build.
Yeah.
I think that any console player who says they're afraid to go to PC because of the cost investment should be aware of the fact that if you're a big gamer, if your PC lives for a year and a half, you've literally paid for your PC in game savings. If you're an average amount of gameplay a day type person, you will pay for it if it lasts 3 years. Yeah. I mean, the savings are unbelievable. You cannot understand them until you come to PC, because they are the savings are so ridiculous.
We're talking about AAA titles that are in the teens.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's
pretty
really
quickly
great.
Even if you wait a little bit after launch, there's some good sales, whether it's Humble Bundle or Steam. There's always something.
Yeah, I was talking to my roommate Phil, and he was asking if I was going to get any games for Black Friday, and I just laughed at him. He was like, yeah, so I have less money for the Steam Winter Sale? Yeah. Sure, yeah, I'll totally do that.
And also, a lot of the bigger deals for Black Friday are more console-focused, and since you don't really play on consoles, that's not really...
Yeah, I might be delving in a little bit, because I'm Henry is definitely a PC, part of the PC Master Race, but I'm part of the glorious multi-platform Master Race.
Yep. You mean you're a console peasant?
Oh no, I dabble in all fields. That's all I have to say.
Fair mercenaries. Enough. We're mercenaries, so we're saying.
Which we'll come back to that, because you did recently get the new Need for Speed, and I would like to hear what your thoughts are on that. But before that, we have one more news story we need to cover.
All right.
And this one is a bit rough, but bear with us, because it's important. It's complicated, but in the wake of the Paris attacks last week, there's been a lot of fallout. It's been very difficult for a lot of people.
You have played a lot of Fallout.
All of our hearts and minds go out to the victims, of course.
Sorry.
And there are other Certainly. People who are being affected that you might not think of, and this is an example of one. One of the top Counter-Strike teams has pulled out of a huge tournament, the IEM San Jose Counter-Strike tournament.
Mm-hmm.
This is Team Envy Us. I believe they actually won last year.
Oh, they did. So returning champs.
Yeah, and they have had to cancel their participation because of some recent bomb threats, grounded flights, the unrest that's going on in the country, and just the need to stay with their families right now, which I think is very respectable and understandable.
Absolutely.
They put out a very mature and well thought out message apologizing that they wouldn't be able to make it. And I really think they're making the right decision. This is really, it's touching. You know, when you're playing games and stuff, a lot of the time it's escapism, but every once in a while you remember that there are, real people behind the screens and stuff. And this is just, it's very rough, and our hearts go out to them. And I think they made the right decision here.
Yep. Absolutely. And if there's any listeners out there in France, just stay safe.
Yes, please. Just stay inside, play computer games.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, I'd like to also say, my condolences out to everybody out there. And I would like just to let you know that we are all here with you, and we all want to give our support.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
Stay safe, and I hope better days come.
Okay, let's try and bring it back up again, see if we can recover a little bit. Let's talk about what we've been playing this week. And I actually want to start with Brandon because we had already mentioned the Need for Speed. I don't know if technically he's played it this week, but he has played it recently.
We haven't had anybody talking about it.
Yes, exactly. We don't have any particularly huge racing game fans among us.
Oh, yeah,
Brandon is quite the fan.
Yeah, I'm actually a big racing fan. I've been playing Need for Speed since... way back, like the old PC ones.
Yep.
Like, you know, like Need for Speed, I think it was Hot Pursuit,
yep.
Like the first one, not the new one. Actually, wasn't impressed with the newer one in comparison. Yeah, yeah. So, also, I dally around, so I like playing Forza. Mm-hmm. I like playing Dirt. Forza Horizon is one of my favorite because I'm a really big fan of all those developers. But digressing, let's bring it back down to our main topic, which is Need for Speed. I believe it was Underground. Like Need for Speed, mm-hmm. Underground, Most Wanted or something.
Most Wanted is the most recent one, right? Or what is the most recent one?
No, Need for Speed Rivals was the last one. Yeah. And then the recent one was, I think, Need for Speed.
It was Most Wanted before
I think
that.
It was, yeah. Need for Speed, Most Wanted, Need for Speed Rivals.
What's the subtitle of the current release?
There is not one.
Okay.
I think it's just Need for Speed, yes.
This was their rebooting the
this
entire...
This is their reboot.
Yeah, they rebooted Need for Speed Underground by calling it Need for Speed.
Interesting. Okay, Brandon, so what do you think of the current one?
Well, I will say this. It has, if you have not played the game, it is a very underground-ish Need for Speed. So Need for Speed Underground 2. Mm-hmm. If you enjoyed those games, I'll tell you right off the bat, you're immediately going to love it almost too much.
Is there a lot of like vehicle customization and stuff like that?
Okay. Yes.
That was... what I remember being a big part of Underground.
Yeah, in Need for Speed Underground too, like the customization almost became like arduous because you had to, once you got it perfect, you had to change it again to get to your next rank.
Yep.
So they've done away with that in this version, which is great. So in terms of the game, like I will say that I enjoy the game. However, I've, since the last Need for Speed game, I've matured as a gamer to an extent.
Sure.
So I can't just sit here and say, oh, I love it so much anymore. Like there are definitely things that gripe me about the game. First off, although many people might not find this to be a problem, but the always online capability is just absolutely unnecessary for
you. Yeah, I've heard really that weird. Like people can just randomly fly into your races. And stuff.
Let me just say this: it has happened to me on multiple occasions when I'm racing and I'm like, "Oh, I'm gonna make it," and then like I get like bammed like in the face, like full frontal by another racer, and you can always tell if they're another online racer because their headlights are so much brighter than the NPCs. All right, so just quick warning out there, guys.
That is horrifying. Just a troll just waiting.
Yeah, and it's even more terrifying if you're doing drift events where, like, you're not going to dodge.
Yeah,
the road's as wide as your car, man.
Drifting around a corner and get T-boned.
Yeah, so that's definitely a problem, and it will cost you the race. Now, of course, you can redo the race, and there's no real detriment to losing a race.
Sure, it's really just time. And
yeah, honestly, like, you're better off losing a race five times and winning it once. Yeah,
right.
Because you'll make more money.
Right.
Go figure. So... So that's definitely a problem. So I don't like the online capability, even though it is optional to turn it off. Just go into your settings before you go into the game. Pro tip. And then a lot of racing games nowadays on consoles, because I bought this for PS4, have like these weird moments where, it looks great, but then you kind of look around and like, the environment around you just doesn't look that good. Like
kind of static looking.
Yeah, kind of static looking. I mean, they've done well, but just, you know. But you know,
as always, all the attention and detail goes on to the cars.
Yeah, right. And I think that's fair.
And probably weather effects. I'm guessing, knowing racing games.
Oh, this is the one thing I have a problem with. So, I'm sure, like this generation's console racers, like this always wet look needs to just go.
Yeah, I think it. I feel like for me, the first time I noticed that was in Sleeping Dogs. They had crazy over the top weather effects, like water in particular. Yeah, the wet.
Yeah,
the, and it was like distracting.
Yeah, it's like you're in this perpetual state of night and rainy night. Yeah. And then another thing I don't like about the game, like I keep on griping on this game, but we'll get to the good stuff momentarily. Is like it's supposed to be set at night, so they have dawn and dusk cycles. It's like, oh, it's night. Oh, the sun's come out.
It's night again.
Now it's night again.
Does it take place in Alaska?
Yeah, it's weird because like
it's just
it's weird because it's jarring. You're racing in the sense of like, it's like watching a Looney Tunes cartoon. Like, we're like, there's fast forwarding time. Like, oh, it's day. We don't do day.
Let's, so that'll happen like during races.
Yes, it'll happen. It's the literal cycle, yeah. The day and night cycle. It's like night.
Really,
so it's kind of like you have like a standard night cycle,
yeah,
for a game. You know, so usually, yeah, like
it's a pretty long night.
Yeah, you know, like hour or 30. No, so usually 20 minutes.
Yeah,
in games typically, like I think GTA has like a 20-25 minute.
Sure,
that sounds right.
Right.
I think the normal breakdown is 1 minute is 1 second actually.
Yeah. Right.
So, I don't know if that actually breaks up
in GTA. I think it.
They'll do is you'll have your 20 minute night. Escape, right? Mm-hmm. And then you'll have like 2 minutes dawn, 2 minutes dusk, and then 20 minute night.
That is strange, weird to say the least.
So now that we've and then my last gripe, and this is my personal biggest gripe,
yep,
because you know everybody was lauding this game, oh, you can customize everything, like, and it's true, you can customize and it's really fun. They give you a lot of options and a lot of options to customize those options, and that's great. But, like, why didn't they include the, like, hey, can we mirror this on the other side? So I spent 5 hours on the right-hand side,
shoot,
and now I got to do it all on the other side. That's which is going to take even longer, because yeah, just because I know what I did, now I have to, like, reverse it so it looks exactly the same. And if you're anywhere near as of a perfectionist or anal as me when it comes to this, yeah, kind of stuff, like, I love symmetry. I'm sorry. I love asymmetry in spaceships.
That's one of the things I struggle with in Fallout 4, actually, as well, with the settlements, is not being able to make everything perfectly symmetrical.
Yeah, so that drove me up a wall.
Can you do that
really quick? Hadn't you also mentioned to me that there, as much as you can customize literally everything, you can actually only customize literally 5 things, but you can do a lot of customization, right? Because you have limited garage space, don't you?
No, yeah, that's another thing, too. It's kind of a mixed basket because I appreciate what they were trying to do. However, staying true to the underground theme that they're doing, you should be able to customize all the cars. So in the right now, you have the garage can only fit 5 cars, your current car and 4 of your other options.
Yeah.
Right. And I can see where they're coming from because the customization options for the vehicles are so expansive,
mm-hmm,
with the exception of one, which is the Ferrari F40. Don't buy that car, guys. I'm sorry.
You can't customize it?
No, because, EA got all like emotional when Ferrari came up and said, no, you can't custom. This is a piece of history. It's Italian history. Don't touch it. And EA was like, okay, I'm sorry. Can I rub your feet?
That's been a problem with racing games for years now. Like damage models, just like not being in games because car manufacturers don't want their machines to look.
Yeah, but at least, but like Forza has balls.
Well,
like,
wow. Yeah, well, they do now. Like as of like the last 10 years or so, it's been a lot better about that stuff. So
yeah, because like, but yeah, that's all the more to reason to note.
Right,
like,
right.
I mean, Forza, you can, you know, damn near customize everything. But then again, at the same time, Horizon, I feel like kind of the first Horizon also had that same problem with the F40.
Okay.
And sure. The irony is too is that as much as I hate that, that car's so nice in Forza Horizon. All right, back on topic. So big gripes for me are the always online, the fact that racers can bump you in game in race. The day-night cycle, incomplete customization for vinyls.
Yep.
Big deal for a game that lauds itself for that. And also licensing issues with vehicles. Although, to be fair, I will be a little bit easier on them because licensing issues with licensed cars, it will always be a difficult experience. And it's not just
Doesn't only one company actually have the rights to actual vehicle names? I can't remember which racing company or which racing thing it is, but I know that there was
they all have to go out and make deals with each
each iteration has to do it.
I want to say like someone only has like Dodge or so,
gotcha,
like something weird like that.
sure
yeah.
I don't know who would just want Dodge,
maybe, but Dodge is paying them to just have Dodge.
Exactly. Yep. And I know Forza, the developers for Forza Horizon dish out cash.
So what's the
Microsoft,
what's M dollar sign upside to this release?
So the upside, well, first of all, like, I know I was griping on the graphics, but the cars look absolutely amazing.
The cars look real.
Yeah. So,
like, they look really,
yeah, they
really,
look really,
really
real on console.
I hate racing games, and it looks incredible.
CarTech's always impressive, too. Yeah.
Now, just to be clear, this is not a Forza game, so it is an arcade-y race game.
Sure.
But the customization options for tuning the vehicle are nice. So
has just enough car porn in there for you.
Yeah. And I'm a car guy at the same time. Like the reason why I started playing video games was because I was working on my dad's motorcycle.
Okay.
And then that's how I started playing Road Rash. And hey, video games.
Hooray.
And you know, then he went out on
Henry
dad's motorcycle.
Henry tends to gripe on me about being a console, peasant, but I
console
started.
Console pilgrim.
Yeah.
Oh, you started playing Road Rash on console?
No.
Or, sorry, on PC. That's
yeah,
what I meant.
I started playing.
Yeah.
That was the first video game I ever played. It was on PC. Matter of fact, the reason why I migrated to console is because I fried my PC trying to make that game better. and that was my parents' work PC, so you know how that ended. So it took me about 20 years for the trauma to wear off. And now I've got my
own PC. We'll have to be careful when we're modding.
Yes. Yeah. Dude, don't get excited. Trust me. But the custom, and also like, the car, now I'm sure that they're going to add more cars. The options are somewhat limited in terms of vehicles, but the vehicles that they added are iconic to the theme that they're trying to set in the game. So it's kind of a give and take there. Mm-hmm. However, they did include cars that if you're interested in this type of game, in this type of environment, like or, you know, this type of scene, you're literally going to just like your jaw's going to drop. They had like a 87 Skyline. They had all the Skylines, which was nice. They had Toyota, which I lovingly mispronounce as a Tuno. And when I was living in Japan, like, this is how much of a fan I am of this car, in case you're wondering, it's a drift machine.
Okay.
This is how much of a fan I am of this car. I was living in Japan back in, 2009, and I saw the car. I literally flipped my explicative. Just flipped, lost my mind, ran across the street in broad daylight in traffic. People were freaking out. Why is this random guy running across the street? It's a foreigner. He's gone crazy. Like, find a driver and just shake his hand. I'm like, you're awesome because you have this car. Like,
do they have the car from Initial D?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, the A8?
Yep.
Is that?
Yep.
Is that
no, actually, it's not the A8. It's the previous less powerful model, although you can convert it to the A8.
Okay.
Oh, my God. It's a video game podcast, not a car podcast.
So, anyway.
Hey, that's a video game.
I'm, like, falling asleep over here.
Okay. But, anyway, back to video gaming. Like, purely the car options are great. Each car sets differently, so you can actually be strategic. Like, oh, I want to do a drift car. Okay, well, you have options.
Don't they, like, segment the game into, like, five different styles of racing?
Yes, there's five different. So you have build, which is, like, you know, not customization. It's build is, like, performance enhancing. Yeah. You have race. You have circuit, which is weird. You have destruction, which is running away from the cops. And the fifth one is, I think, drift.
Okay.
Yeah,
drift. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's might be wrong there, but you have five options. And you get a special bonus if you do something in the game that incorporates all five of those facets. So if you have a really souped up car, right, and you're doing a drift or running away from the cops and in a race that just happens to be a circuit, you've done all five of those things at once and you get a super boost in terms of rep and experience.
That's awesome.
So, I mean,
sounds cool.
You always earn, so you're always getting rewarded. And I think they had ripped that from either Rivals or Forza.
Yeah.
Which is nice. So in the racing, even though it's arcadey, it feels like that.
I got my Overwatch beta invite just now. Sorry.
Good.
Yay.
About time.
Continue.
The nice thing about it is that even though it's an arcadey game, you still feel like it's rewarding to put the time and effort into customizing the way the car works.
Sure.
So you have, you know, drift or race, which I think is kind of, you have drift or race options, and then you have your regular racer in the middle. So, in terms of tuning, I tend to go more toward drift because what it really should be is drift, race, and grip.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is. Or if it's not, that's the way it should be. Grip is great if you're doing drags, which they don't have in the game, which needs to be put in. EA, put drags in the game.
Get up on
just
that.
Just don't. Yeah, seriously, what the hell's wrong with you guys? grip is very good for straightaways. You know, just don't ever attempt to turn. And then you have drift, which is always like, okay, like we're going to basically be torquing the car.
It gives you more flexibility for when you're actually racing, it seems, for drift.
You want your butt to kind of like wiggle a little bit when you're in the race.
Mine always does that.
So, and they give you options that are actually somewhat realistic to the real things. Like, it's kind of weird, like, when I go to work and I have one of my coworkers races cars as his hobby, which was as cool as he was. excuse me. And he gave me tips on what I should set my differential to.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, do it. I did it in the game and it worked. You know, so I locked up my differential.
That's cool that it actually
translates. So there's actually some good turnover to it.
Yeah.
But if you are a serious gearhead, like don't do this. Go to Forza. Don't go to this game because you know.
So if you had to make a final recommendation, because we got to talk about other games.
Yeah, yeah.
What would it be? But buy, wait, or pass?
Wait. This game is good, but it is not worth $65 or $64.84 if you're in Minnesota.
it's oddly specific.
He's so bitter.
Yeah, I am kind of bitter.
Or do what I did for Battlefront. Do mm-hmm. the EA access thing on Xbox One. If you do have that, pay $5. You can play for 10 hours and have your fill.
Speaking of Battlefront.
Hey.
Uh-oh.
Hey, John.
Hey.
You are the only one here who's played Battlefront outside of Battlefront. The beta.
Dun, dun, dun.
How is it?
You know, I've had some fun with it. It's... I don't see
that
myself.
That was oddly dismissive.
I mean, I've had a lot of fun playing. I've done like the team deathmatch stuff. I did some of the dogfighting stuff as well.
Sure.
Like that's actually surprisingly better than what I thought it was going
to
be.
Does it control similarly to like the TIE fighter in the Walker Assault from the beta?
I have not played Walker Assault.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's...
Is it mouse-controlled on kind of like on rails? Not on rails, but like you're constantly being propelled forward and you just kind of steer with your mouse?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yep. So you can steer. You can control where you're going. I don't know if you... I never tried to like air brake or anything.
You can, but you can't come to like a dead stop or anything, which is good.
I mean, you're in atmosphere, so that would make sense.
Just like fall.
But
it's Star Wars.
The best application I've seen of it by far has just been people flying into players on the ground.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that is very fun to watch. I was going to ask you real quick. Now I've been seeing like those diamonds. I watched a couple of videos. I've seen the diamonds that like make you either access like very special vehicles like the Millennium Falcon or Boba Fett's fancy old ship.
Slave One.
Yeah. And then also the more popular ones, which is either Luke or Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you?
I haven't had a chance to play as any of the heroes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I played as both heroes in the beta.
I did not.
Because you didn't do Walker Assault.
I didn't do Walker Assault. So I've been mainly just building up experience to get some unlocks going before I actually jump into that. Yeah, I know. What I will say, like the maps have been fun. There's one that's.
There's 12, right?
There's 12. There's four planets, three maps each, depending on which mode that you're in.
So is there only one like map per planet, is it? Or tile set or whatever they're Is there only, like, say I want to do Capture the Flag and I want to do it on the forest level.
Sure, there's only one map for the forest level.
For Capture the Flag.
Got it. But it also might be the same as their just, like, Team Deathmatch map.
The same?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm.
Like, I mean, if you would play...
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't realize
to, like,
that. I was under the impression... how many modes are there?
There's like 9 modes. Like, there's a lot of modes.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Yeah,
Halo,
so...
Where's your Walker Assault mode?
Right? That would be great. I think it might have a Walker in there.
Isn't that the one that's on the snow level?
Yeah, there's one on there.
Hoth,
There's one on Tatooine.
I think it's actually what is the name? It's the new.
Well, they have Jakku coming later.
Oh, you're right.
But like Tatooine, one of the team deathmatch ones I played was where the Millennium Falcon's parked on Mos Eisley or in Mos Eisley. Like you're fighting around that.
Yep.
So that has to be Tatooine then.
Yes, it does.
The ones on Hoth, like the map that I played on Hoth is just one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
Have they done a little bit more to try and balance the color schemes? Because, like, Imperials have such a ridiculously... Snowtroopers are all white.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, why didn't
the snow? Surprisingly not bad.
Like, did they reduce the white blindness at all, or the snow blindness? Because that was
a
real issue in the beta.
The only times I've noticed like light blindness is
snow blindness. Is what I meant to say.
But like even just going through corridors and like there's an opening and the sun shining down, like you can't see through that opening until you walk up a little bit further.
I don't like that.
There's that.
Yeah, because on the snow map, like some of the people were exploiting that, just constantly shooting in the hole, and people would know to their arm.
Well, I was doing that too. I was just like, oh, just throw thermal detonators through here.
Oh, you're the worst.
They'll never know.
So, what do you think now that you've had a couple hours with it?
I want to play more of it, but I don't think I'm going to play much more than that. Define, if that makes sense.
When you say more of it, do you mean like like the same amount?
Yeah, I'm going to tool around with some of the other modes and try to unlock some more things. But man, there's only 11 guns. They all feel the same, at least from what I've experienced so far. Like, they're all laser pistols. One of them has a scope on it, but they
some
all
are
shoot
faster
at, like,
than others.
Some are barely faster than others that I never really noticed. The accuracy isn't like changing or anything like that.
Do any of them have like ammo?
No.
Oh.
Not that I've noticed.
I do not like the overheating system.
Yeah, it's overheat.
I don't like it in any game, really. I just. Yep.
Well, I think Mass Effect was the one that did it the best in the second and third iterations, where
you have
a thermal clip.
Had, yeah.
Yeah, where you have infinite ammo, but you have thermal clips. And after 27 shots, that would induce enough heat that you needed to exchange it, in which you did a reload animation.
Right.
Which was good, which was, you know, kept immersion.
Yeah.
Kept a familiar theme that we, you know, constitute two guns, you know, that's conducive to guns. And I think that worked out. Now, you know, like, the heat system does become, like, I think we all learned a lesson from the first Mass Effect, like, where the guns, there's no ammo, just constantly shoot, and people kept on, like, overheating their guns, and it was just not fun, and it breaks immersion.
Yeah.
Because it's just, maybe it's just beyond us, because we're not cool enough for that yet. I don't know. you know? So, I don't know. That's one of the reasons. That was one of the big things that kind of turned me off.
Have any of the guns that you've gotten had any bit better of shot spread? Because that was another real issue I had with it. Was like, no. I felt like nothing was actually hitting where I was aiming.
Things have been hitting.
I mean, they do. Maybe it's partially because the projectile speed is so slow.
It's a weird
speed. I actually did pretty well when I played in the beta, but it's. It just feels like none of my shots hit where I'm pointing.
Yeah.
Like
everyone else's shots are hitting me just fine.
That's good.
As far as I could tell.
Okay, so maybe it's just like the shot speed is a little low.
I think it's
just
getting used to it and that kind
of stuff.
It just
doesn't feel like what I've been brought up to understand a shooter is.
Right. And so I think one thing that I think they're successful with in this game is that it's accessible to jump in even if you're not accustomed to like Call of Duty or Halo or CSGO. Like, it's not that game. It's a game to jump into and have fun for a few minutes and then maybe jump out, which could be damning for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, gosh.
Like, it's good. It's fun to play.
Is it $60 good?
No.
Okay. Nope. Is it $50 good?
Depends.
If you see it on sale for 40 or less.
I would go 40.
Okay.
I would go 40.
Okay. The current content?
With the current content, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Sure, why not? Also, there's that extra Battle of Jakku stuff that's coming next month with the movie.
Yep.
So that'll probably be all right, too.
I hope it looks distinctly different from Tatooine.
It's like a ship graveyard. So it's
I know it is, but I mean the title set
from
itself.
From what I've seen in Tatooine, it's going to look pretty different.
Good.
Because Tatooine, it's more in like the cantina area.
Okay,
like
so it's literally Mos Eisley stuff. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Awesome. Let's see. I know you've played a couple other games this week. I literally, to like honest confessions, I'm pretty sure Brandon and I both have literally only played Fallout 4 this week.
My biggest regret is I had to not play Fallout last night because my roommate was sick. And I was not very forgiving about that because I could have been playing Fallout.
Just knock him out. And then
he was like,
just
he was groaning like a sick cat, and I'm like, I like cats. He sounds like one. Maybe I should like do something.
Just pet his head.
Should probably take care of
him. But Fallout.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, feed him some kibble.
However, John, you got your hands on something else pretty good, right?
Yeah,
the new Tomb Raider.
Yeah. So I think this I did kind of mention last week because I did play all of the previous Tomb Raider game, and I only played a tiny bit of this one. So Rise of the Tomb Raider is a better game than the last Tomb Raider game.
Hooray!
I'll put that out there.
Yay. That actually makes me slightly interested.
Yeah, so it's the world is more dense in what you can do. So there's side missions that you can take from NPCs to get you things like lockpicking or like scopes for your guns. There's a lot more to actually explore and find in the world, which I appreciate.
Cool. Like tombs, for
like
example.
Like tombs, like optional tombs.
Like where actual tombs.
I have a sick move now that I carry two arrows on hand whenever I'm shooting someone so I can pull the trigger one more time to shoot off a second arrow.
That's nice.
Like, that's cool.
Sweet.
I've basically, for the last like 5 hours I've been playing, have been in the same area and I'm completely fine with it. There's still cool. more things for me to explore.
Is this less linear then, are you saying, than the last one? Because the last one was pretty darn linear.
It's still linear mm-hmm. for the story that they're taking you on.
Well, that's kind of what like you're in the same area. Is that all doing story missions, or are you like exploring and taking your time?
I'm exploring and doing side stuff, but okay. like when I started doing story stuff, it took me through the same area, looped me into like the story area, and then looped me back into the area that I was just in.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, wow, this looks oddly familiar. Where am I? And I looked at the map. I'm like, oh, it's the same place. But they added like some shops and
right.
I just have like some new stuff to do there. But there were places that I couldn't get to. It has those Metroid elements where you get new gear.
Metroidvania, love it.
Like you get those rope arrows, and then you can start tearing down rope walls.
What is this, Thief?
This is Thief.
But that's actually really cool to hear. Honestly, yeah. I want to like this game because I wanted to like the previous one, but I just didn't. I didn't like the ham-fisted puzzles, and I hated the death animations. So
the death stuff seems to be gone.
Oh, that's great.
I've heard that if you fall in a pit of spikes, they still have the head impaling thing. But I am good enough to not jump into a pit of spikes.
Yeah. What is this, Mario?
Right.
Get out of here.
Pro tip, guys. Do not jump into a pit of spikes.
Right.
It gives you a warning, too. Like, things slow down when, like, a pit of spikes is below you and, like, the floor drops out so you can jump out of the way.
That's
so
nice. It's good. QTE.
Yeah.
Have you been able to upgrade any other items that you have not unlocked yet?
You know, they actually gave me a gun instead of, like, me just finding a bow and
no.
arrow. Yep. So all the other weapons I have found. But, yeah, what I like about this, at least weaponry-wise, you find different guns or you build different guns, and it's not an extension of the weapon that you had already. They're separate weapons.
You can upgrade separately.
So
explain.
In the first Tomb Raider, I had a pistol that somehow got upgraded into a different kind of pistol.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Or
like you upgrade a 9mm into a revolver or
right.
something?
Oh, that's no, you like you upgrade it into like a Deagle.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
And then it's split into two eventually.
Yep. So now I have a Desert Eagle. I have two different revolvers and just another Glock, basically.
Now, can you interchange those weapons between your hands?
No.
Go. Oh.
I don't think so. You can zoom in.
No.
Yeah. No.
What a waste.
Oh. I just wanted to say this. Like, I'm a big Tomb Raider fan. That's that was one of my first console games that I played after my trauma with the PC.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Are there dinosaurs?
You'll never speak of it again.
I'm sorry. No.
So I am not a huge fan of the Tomb Raider series. Like, I'm not against them, but sure. I wasn't a PlayStation kid. And so I'm curious, have they brought back some of the like dinosaur stuff and all that kind of stuff? Because I remember shooting dinosaurs in, I think, the second Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Raptors,
I haven't seen dinosaurs yet, but I've fought a bear. I've fought a couple dens of wolves.
Sure.
Like packs of wolves.
Now that's classic.
And then I got attacked by a jaguar.
All right.
That was really hard to kill. So,
okay, yeah. And it was hard to kill, right?
It was very hard to kill.
See, that's good. Like, now you feel like – I feel like a lot of times now in games, like we fight these just – atrocious enemies that are just like beyond any like explicable means. But now, you know, you drop it down to a Tomb Raider game where like, yeah, she's an actual person,
yeah.
you know, regular
that is cool.
person.
Yeah.
And suddenly, like, I remember playing Tomb Raider 2 and there was a bear in a pit on like the first or second level.
Yep.
And it's just like, oh, I am not going down
do
there.
Do not go near that bear. You have to be prepared in this game. And it's nice that like the scavenging and the hunting and all that stuff that they had in the first one that did nothing really. Actually, like, you scavenge for parts to heal yourself or to upgrade your items.
That's
or
cool.
to create new outfits or anything like that. Everything you do filters into the gameplay, and it's something that's actually fun to do and rewards you.
Actually, so. John, quick question. Now. Yeah. Are you playing it on Xbox?
I'm playing it on Xbox One. It's the only thing it's available for.
Yeah,
right
see,
now.
That's one something I
Doesn't
wanted to bring up.
Doesn't it have like a year exclusivity or something?
For PS4, yes. So PS4, it's coming out
holiday season next year. And that's what I wanted to talk about. That is, not very happy about that.
PC is early next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real, guys. Pay the company to develop an exclusive title for you. Don't pay them to make it
exclusive.
Unavailable to other companies for X.
Because the only person that's hurting is the end consumer.
Well,
the gamers.
Seems like it's hurting them as well because also paired with them launching at the same day as Fallout 4, the numbers I was seeing, at least for Europe alone, was about 10 times less than what Fallout 4 has sold.
Well, and you know what I'd really like to know? Because Fallout 4 like broke a bunch of records, so that doesn't surprise me. But what I'd really like to know is this is pretty across the board being said is a better game than the last one. Mm-hmm. I would like to know if it's getting better scores and or if the sales numbers are actually any better.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to wait until...
Because remember, the last one was a critical failure, even though they sold millions of copies.
From what I was seeing, first week out of... For whatever reason, is the European numbers, is less than 60K.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wait, that's
real bad.
Compared to the near 500,000 that Fallout had sold.
Wow. Oh, in terms of... Oh.
Yeah, so...
That sucks.
But
well,
like I said, that's Europe. They are actually a very PS4-centric. Yeah, so don't... what I want to say is don't sleep on this game. I think it's really great. If you like Tomb Raider, if you like Uncharted... I actually like it more than Uncharted.
Because Uncharted took all of its like kicks from Tomb Raider.
I like the combat more than Uncharted. And now that you have things like you can find just a can of food in the environment and make a shrapnel bomb out of it and then just throw it at people. It's really fun.
Actually.
Yeah. There's a lot of good ideas in it. It's a lot of fun.
I was actually thinking Last of Us on that one.
Well, maybe when it comes out for PC, I'll give it a look.
Ask for it for the holidays.
Yes, if you are one of the select few who owns an Xbox One and also is really...
Think of it this way. Even if I owned an Xbox One, I wouldn't buy it for an Xbox One.
That's cool.
I will say from a PC perspective, this is probably a safe buy for console if you have no choice. I mean, it's third-person action games are always solid
and
with controller.
And I've never really run into any bugs. Any weird
Although if you want it to look amazing...
Get it on PC later on.
And probably with an NVIDIA card.
Yeah, have a... BTS machine.
Yeah, especially if you want her hair to work.
Like, how beefy? Like, mine has some...
You'll be fine.
Yours will be fine. Yours will be real beefy.
Just messing with you guys.
All right, so has anybody played anything else this week by any chance? That is literally it for me. I played a couple mobile games, but nothing good enough to be worth mentioning, really.
Yeah, I played a couple mobile games. I don't think they're, like, airworthy.
Oh, I will say the Pip-Boy companion app.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that
the app itself, pretty cool. It's great when I step out for like a smoke break or whatever and I can keep playing, you know, managing my inventory. I will say I think it's real dumb that if you have your Pip-Boy actually open in game, it makes it go into like the demo mode.
Yeah, that's really weird.
It goes into view mode. It's third mode.
It's read only basically. Yep. It's bogus. Like you can't actually equip anything, make any changes. It's annoying. That said, there are some nice things about it, some negative. You can't play the radio through it, but you can play the games on it.
It's also nice if you do have a tablet, just put it up on the table. Just use it as your map.
Yeah, although it is worth noting, Brandon immediately... Well, Brandon, you can go ahead and I won't steal your thunder.
Yeah, if you're going to do the tablet or your cell phone, which a lot of people are going to do cell phones, they're big enough anyway.
Right.
Yeah, keep that sucker plugged in, man. It'll suck you dry, like I swear.
Not just that, but also, weren't you telling me that it doesn't scale super well to a super huge tablet screen?
Yeah, that's another thing, too. Yeah. If you're using a tablet, like if you're...
designed it for tablets in mind.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the Pip-Boy was
technology. It's supposed to go on your Apple Watch.
It works. Now, the functionality is good. It is fine. So if you're looking for something that is functional and convenient... The Pip-Boy app on your tablet actually might be a better thing because it's bigger. You're not going to get like small finger mistakes and things like that. Sure. However, it does look horrible.
Gotcha.
It does not look good because it's stretching and tearing.
I wonder if it's the size of your tablet, too.
Actually,
you have like a 7-inch LG.
Yeah, I'm using just this cheapo tablet I got for free because my grandmother gave it to me.
Gotcha. It might be just stretching the phone version of it. I haven't downloaded
it. That's a good point because he doesn't have a full-blown...
And they do that for Android a lot.
I should really check it out on my... Because I have a Windows 10 tablet, and so I should really check it out on here.
I have my iPad, too. Like, maybe we'll report
back. Yeah, we'll weigh in next week. But that pretty much does it for what I've played. Any last-minute additions?
Yeah, I would like to make a quick addition.
Sure.
I did skip something for... For Need for Speed. I feel like I was being just a bit too negative. I feel like the one thing, and this is just a conclusion thought, you know, for the good and the bad with the game, there's just nothing more satisfying. And I think this really sells the game well than just, you know, pulling off that drift on the side of a mountain or, you know, catching that race, you know, catching that perfect race.
You're saying it's a good racing
game. It's a good race. At its core, I mean, it's missing a lot of things, and, you know, it's not perfect, but it definitely does feel and is ultimately a fun game to play for all the gripes that are in it. And honestly, one thing I really like is they put a nice little screenshot mode in, so mm-hmm. you can instantly take photos in the in-game. Like, no pause, no, oh, I'm going to pause, get my angle. And, like, you can literally just take a picture instantaneously. Oh, and that is so that fun. Is like. Yeah. And it's just, and for console, it's just like the L3.
Oh, you just put it, pushing the stick?
Yeah, pushing the stick. And it's so perfect
yep.
because you'll catch shots that you'll never really think about catching. And then you're not going to be like, oh, pause the game. Like, you can catch in-the-moment nice. Shots. And you're just like, you go back and you're like, oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
That's one of the features I really liked about, was it GTA 5 that had where you could, like, start recording and it would go back, like, 15 seconds?
Yeah, yep.
And, like, it would catch all of that, too. So you could do something cool, then hit record, and you'd have captured it.
You'd still
it.
Get it.
Yeah. I love that kind of a system.
Yeah, so I have to say that. Whew, that is fun. But that's just, I just didn't want to sound like I was harping on it too hard. I do love the game. And even though I'm a little bit bitter about the purchase, I think that, you know, if I went back in time with this knowledge, I probably still would buy it. Because ultimately, I am a Need for Speed fan. And if you're a Need for Speed fan, you're gonna like the game.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, that pretty much does it for today, I think.
Sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares what you have to say.
Yeah, it's I played a round of Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival. But let's talk about
let's
that
save
later.
It for next week. Yeah. Because I'm sure no that one you have cares. Many more hours
Zero
to put into
cares.
It.
Yeah, as like, I mean, anyways. I played mobile games, and I think mine's Robot Unicorn Attack. I don't yeah. think that's worthy.
We've already shouted that out. Anyways, though, this has been procedurally generated. We hope you guys have enjoyed listening to the show. Please be sure to check us out on Audio Boom and also iTunes and leave us a rating or review. Tell us if we messed something up, which we inevitably do. And you can also follow us on Twitter at @PG_show. I'll be putting up some pictures this week of me opening and trying on Brandon's Pip-Boy Edition Pip-Boy. You can see just how janky they really are for yourselves. Thanks, and as always, game on.